Amen.
Grab a seat. Thanks, guys. That's awesome. So good. At risk of ruining the mood, I think there's a couple of things that we forgot to say in Explosion News. A few weeks' time, there's a little invite on half the seats, I think at least, that says the panel, and it has my phone number and email address on it. We're going to be doing something a bit different. I was really stoked about how well last week went interviewing Tony, and just all the questions that came in. So the next couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about just some general, really basic stuff and stuff that's on my heart. And then in three Sundays' time, so it's on the thing, we're going to do a panel where we're going to get a bunch of guys up here. And if you guys text in questions, emailing questions, I'll have some questions for them. And we're just going to just answer questions about God and faith and life and the universe and everything. And so I think it's going to be a bit of fun. And so if you got stuff that you just like, I really want to know about this, or this is something that really concerns me, or this is something that's really affecting my faith, or I'm just in this situation and I'd like to know how to deal with it. We're going to try it out. Does that sound cool?
Yeah.
Sweet. So there's a thing on that. As well as that, if you are coming to New Empire on Friday night, and I just encourage you, if you don't usually come on a Friday night because you're an old person, just come along anyway. But if you can just let Rach know, after Explosion, just if you're coming, so that we can get an idea of numbers and we can work out transport, that would be awesome. Okay, so now that stuff's out of the way, we'll just jump back into that mood that we were just in. I'm just going to pray. God, just thank you so much for how much you just love us and that you just pour that out continuously. And God, there's no limit or no edge to your love for me and your love for every single person here. And God, I pray that we would just know that more and more. And God, that we would just know just more and more how much you're in love with us. And let that be a guiding and a driving force in our life, Lord. And I just pray that tonight as we read your word, that you would just speak to us, that you would just speak so clearly into our hearts, God, and give us clarity on things that are going on, but above all, God, that we would know that we're loved by you. Amen. There's this really interesting passage in Revelation 2, which I was reading the other day, and I'll just read it, okay. It says this, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, there are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Don't need to worry too much about that tonight. I says, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. This is sounding really good, hey? He's like, Ephesian guys, you're doing well. But he says this, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and I will remove your lampstand from its place. I was just struck by this passage. And every time that I read it and I think about it, it's kind of like it saddens me, if that makes sense. Because here's this church in Ephesus, which is this place, and they've got all this good stuff going on. Yeah, it says, you guys, you're good at this, you're good at this, you're good at this, but you've lost your first love. And that strikes a chord with me, I guess, because it's like we can just, as people and as a church, we can get carried away with doing all of the stuff, and it's great stuff, and we can do. All of that, yet we can lose our first love. And if we lose that, then it disqualifies us. It's amazing that despite all this great stuff that the Ephesian church did, the thing that means that they're going to be lost is that they lost their first love. And then it doesn't matter that other stuff that they did. It doesn't matter because without that first love, all the great things that they did and the programs that they ran, the songs that they wrote or that they sang that were just amazing, and they were just all this good stuff, it was nothing when they had lost their first love. And Paul puts it like this to the Corinthians, and he says, in 1 Corinthians 13, you'd know this passage maybe, it's on the video at the start. It says, if I speak in human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, yet, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. This is this incredible thing where he's saying, if you don't have that love, that first love, then all that great stuff that you do doesn't matter. Is anybody with me? Like, we are called to do this amazing stuff, and it is good, like, they're good things. And coming to church, doing church, reaching out and doing things in the community, that is not the wrong thing to do. That's the right thing to do. But it needs to come out of that first love. And he says that that first love for people, that first love for God overall. And when you read in Ephesians, which is, you know, the same people, And it just talks about how they have this love for God and this love for people. And it just really strikes me that somewhere along the way they lost that. And that's the key thing. And I just feel God's just saying, like, he just wants to bring us back to that first love. I'm so, like, we didn't plan that, doing that song tonight at all. And it was just one of those God things where that just works, I guess. But I'm really glad that we did, because I think Maybe you've been a Christian for years and years and years, maybe weeks and weeks and weeks, or maybe you wouldn't say you're a Christian. It doesn't matter. Like, what's important is that there is a God that loves you. That there's this God that is in love with you, and he wants you to be in love with him. And all that other stuff will come, and that other stuff will happen if we would have our first love, if we would not lose the first love that we have, yeah? So you're going to give me some response tonight. I'm feeling like God wants to do something, and so you need to come with me. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. There's this bit in every romantic comedy, and you might know what I mean already. You know, it's kind of at the end of the movie usually, and it's all gone bad. Usually all this bad stuff's happened. They've had this big thing. The guy and the girl have gone their separate ways, and they think, and you're like, oh no, it's not going to work out, but you know that it's a rom-com, so it's going to happen. But and then there's this point where the guy will come rushing in, usually in some dangerous and or embarrassing way, and he will make this grand speech about how much he loves the girl, and then it's happily ever after from there. You know, it's like the "you complete me" bit in the movies. Yeah, everyone knows that. That was on the TV the other day, and we're realizing how many lines is in Jerry Maguire. Like, it's ridiculous. Anyway, they're good with the lines. And I'm not saying that we need to have this kind of Hollywood moment with God or even with a person or anything. Like, it doesn't have to look the same for everybody. But I think there's something great about that part of the movie, because it's just about their love for each other, yeah? And they're just like, I've just discovered the love of my life, and so I don't care. I'm going to make these massive statements and promises, and however we might look at it from the outside and say, that is never going to last. Those guys are messed up. Clearly, the things that have happened in the preceding 80 minutes of this film tell us that it's just not going to work. They don't care, and they'll do huge, embarrassing things because they say, like, all they care about is their first love, yeah? So we know what that's like, and even guys, you secretly love that bit in those movies, and you go, oh, there's something in my eye. You know, because they're in love, and when I read that passage in Revelation about the Ephesians church, I think they must have been like that at first, yeah? There must have been this Hollywood rom-com moment for the Ephesian church where they first hear about the incredible love of God. They first hear about what Jesus did for them on the cross, and they are just blown away in love. Head over heels, swept off their feet, totally in love with their Savior, yeah? They have this big moment, and the credits roll, and everybody leaves the movie happy. And then we fast forward, and time goes on, and they get busy, and they get caught up doing stuff, and they're running programs, and they're doing all that sort of stuff. and they forget about their first love. And it just strikes me that we can be like that. And that's written in the Bible as a warning to us. And a challenge to us to say, don't be like the Ephesian church that started out so well, totally in love with their Savior. And then somewhere along the way, they just let that slide. Amen? Like, I think this is so important, and I'm so glad we're just singing, like, God, how much you love me. And I always change the lyrics because it's like, he loves us. I just change it to, like, you love me, and I just sing it like that because, I don't know, I like doing that. And I think it's so important that we would not forget our first love, or if we feel like we have, that we would just fall in love all over again. And I'm sure everybody realizes I'm not talking about somebody you had a crush on in year 8. I'm talking about your Father in heaven and how much he loves you, yeah? So I've just got a few things that I just want to talk about, just a few ways, maybe how you can kind of rekindle that passion, that first love. Is that cool? So the first one is simple. It's just make a date. You hear about a lot of married couples that have date nights. Colin loves date night. And they do that very deliberately because they want to keep the passion alive. Yeah? Now that Colin's yelled out, that just gets a bit more personal and close to home, I think. But that's okay. Everyone can chat to him about how that works later. Don't interrupt Colin's date night. Is that what you're saying? All right. Let's just leave this. This is really easy. Make a date with God. Spend time with him. Yeah? Like he's the love of your life and you're his. Like, hang out. We were created for this, not just to work and work and do the stuff, not to serve, like not exclusively just to do the work, but we were created to have this beautiful relationship with our loving Creator and Father and Savior, yeah? And right at the start of the Bible, we read about Adam and Eve. And they were created for relationship with God. And they were created to just literally walk with God every day. And it wasn't a big, like, hardcore prayer meeting. It was just like, hey, God, you're the love of my life, and I'm just going to spend time with you, yeah? And so they would do that. And in Genesis 3 verse 8, it says, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They sin, and they eat the fruit from the tree, and so then when it comes to that time where they would just walk with their love, they hide. And I just have this picture of God in that moment, just heartbroken. I think sometimes, like, well, I often think of that and think, oh, how bad is it for Adam and Eve there? But God must have been devastated. And that's just a thought, maybe, for some people. Like, God's actually devastated when you don't want to spend time with him. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're like, oh, I'm too busy, or I can't be bothered, or there's these other things, or I'd rather do this, I'd rather watch TV. God's just like, oh, don't you want to hang out with me? I love you. And now God's not like this sappy guy that's going to have a cry about it. But do you know what the picture that's there, I guess, for that? And so God says in that moment, like, I'm going to get that back. I can't live being separate from these people. Like, I don't want to be separate from these people. I love these people. I love you. I want to be with you. And so he sends his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to take the punishment for the stuff that we did wrong, so that he could just again walk with us every day and spend time with us. And sometimes I think we think that has to be a chore, whereas really God's just like, I just want to spend time with you. I just want to walk with you. You can spend time just enjoying God. Yeah. This doesn't have to be super spiritual or hardcore or anything like, unless you like hardcore, then that's cool. It doesn't have to be like a Bible study. You can just be stopping and taking time out just to be with God. Maybe it's you go for a walk or a surf or you just kind of sit somewhere in your room or go out and sit on the beach or I don't know what it is. You listen to some worship. Maybe you can place an instrument so you just sing a song to God. Like, I don't know what it looks like exactly, but it's this time where it's not about what needs to be done or about what you need from God, but this time of just refreshing and renewing, of just getting to know God more, of just saying, God, you're in love with me and I'm in love with you, so let's just hang out. Like, do you see where I'm going with that? Well, like what it means? So the first thing is just make a date with God. I reckon it would be really cool if somebody literally did. Like, book a table for two when you're the only person going and, like, sit in a restaurant having dinner with God and then, like, go to a movie with God and buy two tickets. Like, shout God, dinner and a movie. Why not? Could be cool. Be awkward if we all just turn up at this cinema by ourselves. I can't sit there. That's God's seat. Just a thought. Anyway. So the first thing is make a date with God. The second, read his love letters. I think sometimes we look at this book, the Bible, and we think of it as like a textbook or a history book or a how-to guide or worse, something that we read because we were told it was the right thing to do and we've got to tick the boxes on that reading plan or we're going to hell. And so we read it. You're not, by the way. But anyway, but sometimes I think we just need to look at this book and just go, this is just this collection of love letters from God to me. This is just passages and passages and verses of promises that God's made to me and times where he's just said how much he loves me. Yeah? And it's amazing the stuff that God has said in this book about you and for you and what it says of his love for you. And it's like he just sat down and he just wrote love letters every day for you and then put them in a book. So just read them. I was reading Song of Songs the other day. Woo! And it just starts off like straight out. It says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king take me into his chambers. It gets a bit... You know, and this was like this love story between a man and a woman, but it's also this allegory for how God desires us and wants relationship with us, yeah? And so, like, it's a straight out love letter. It's just, God's just like, I love you so much. Like, your love is better than wine. And it's awesome to see that God doesn't want, like, the commands and the rules and the service as much as he wants love and intimacy. And there's this picture that the Bible paints, I think, is so different to how we sometimes see being a Christian or following God, because God's picture of that is this intimate relationship that is described as a marriage. Not like a boss and or think like relationship or a work colleague or an acquaintance, but like a wife or a husband. Yeah? That's cool and crazy. And I think that we need to just spend some time just soaking in like God's love letters for us. If you want to just renew your first love, then you just read that stuff and you let it sink into your heart and you start to think about what God said. And God doesn't make it up. I was reading this passage the other day and it says, God's not human that he would lie to you. Like, not a man that he would make a promise and not fulfill it. And it's just like, God says this stuff and he's God. So he means it and it's true and it's going to happen and it's real. And he's someone that you can trust explicitly to do everything that he's promised that he's going to do. That when he says he loves you, he means it. It's as simple as that. He doesn't need to. He would deserve our worship and our praise and our commitment, even if he didn't love us, because he's God. But he does. How amazing is that, yeah? Just get it into your heart. Like, this isn't a complicated message. But, like, I think it's something God wants to say. Has anybody got the time? The clock is gone down there. That's disappointing. I got no idea. I'm just going to just go on forever now. The last thing I've got here is just to align your heart. Because I think that the love relationship that God has and wants to have with us isn't just a crush or a nice feeling. It's more like a marriage, that's what the Bible says. And so it goes beyond just these nice times sitting with God, like, you know I just said that, and that is important, and it goes beyond the love letters. Like, it goes beyond those nice things. They're just kind of a starting point for the real journey, yeah? So that we're in love with God, and we'll just do anything. That we won't just take the really nice things that he says to us, about us, the things that he does for us, the gifts that he gives to show that he loves us, but that we would take the criticism, the challenging, the conviction of God as well, as he speaks out of this heart of love for us and says, you're not doing the right thing there, or you need to let that go, or you need to do that. And if it's a real love relationship, then you'll take that stuff, yeah? And you'll move with it. And if you only take the good, then you'll never build that deep relationship. Does that make sense? Like, if you get married and the only thing that you do is just say nice things to each other all the time, like, after a few years, it'll get tiring. And you'll run out of nice things to say. And you'll start just kind of repeating them or something, I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, you need that depth of relationship. You need it to go different. And you need your hearts to align, yeah? Yeah. And so I think that this true sign of us having our first love, really, is that when God says, drop everything for me, you'll do it. When he asks you to do something, you'll do it because he's the love of your life. And there's nothing you wouldn't do. That you would be like that guy at the end of the rom-com that will just do anything, ridiculous things, to show how much he loves the girl, because you're completely in love, yeah? And this can't be a religious thing at all, because then it would just be like the Ephesian church who did all the right stuff but lost their love. No, it needs to be about coming straight from a heart of love, where your heart and God's heart are aligned, where you let yourself be broken for what breaks God's heart, where the things that hurt God hurt you, and the things that fill God with joy fill you with joy. And then the more time you spend together, the more dates you go on, the more you read those letters of love and you write letters of love to God. Because that's what, like, a worship song is a lot of the time. It's somebody just writing from their heart, God, I love you. Yeah? It's like if you were to, there was this girl that you like and you're handy with a guitar, so you write them a love song. That's what worship is. Letting God speak to you, letting him have access to every part of your life, not just the bits that you choose. Yeah? Letting him invade every part of your heart and get right to the bottom of things and write and have unrestricted access to everything, yeah? That's a heart of love. Is everybody with me on this? Cool. So I just think this is a challenge for us. And it's not a challenge to do more stuff or to make a super response or anything like that, but a challenge just to find our first love again. To just spend time just letting God love you and loving God and just enjoying that perfect relationship. Yeah? And just, like, sit there and be like, oh, how he loves me. Oh, he loves me. Oh, wow, how much does he love me? And that's sinking into your heart until your only response is, God, whatever you ask, I'll do it because I love you. Yeah? I'm just going to pray. God, Thank you so much for your love. God, that you are totally in love with us. And Lord, we don't want to just be people that search for love all over the world and miss the perfect love that you have, God, that is the answer to everything. And God, that we don't want to miss the stuff that you've done for us and that you want to do in our lives, God. But we just want to be in love with you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe we can just do that song once more and everyone just maybe stand and we'll just sing. And just let God speak to your heart. It doesn't have to be it might not be a massive thing or something, but maybe just let God say, I love you. I love you. Yeah.